The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And it's Friday, which means it's time for the Duff McKagan Joke of the Week.
Hey, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling. I was at the restaurant the other day, and I ordered my dinner, and I got some meat, and I couldn't quite finish it. The waitress came up at the end, and she said, "You want a box?" I said, "No, I'd rather wrestle." Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah! But if I didn't know better, I think Duff might have used that one before. I'm not sure. Still funny. Duff McKagan, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from a little band called Guns N' Roses. Still taking the time to call us every single Friday with the Duff McKagan Joke of the Week. Not going to get that on any other podcast. I'll tell you that right now. Very, very excited to hear about Duff's new band, Walking Papers. They're going out with Alice in Chains starting April 28th in Boston. Duff is a road dog. You know, hopefully, Axel doing a record with Angus Young and AC. DC. Seems like Slash is firing up the conspirators again. The boys from Guns N' Roses going their separate ways. Hopefully, there'll be a new Guns N' Roses record in the can sometime soon. If not, at least we got Duff and the Joke of the Week. Speaking of good friends, Howard Jones, my good buddy, his new band, Light the Torch, are getting ready to tour as well. They haven't announced the exact dates, but the new album, Revival, drops today. Howard's going to tell us all about that, why he's doing more singing than screaming on this one. He's introducing their new drummer. You'll also hear the whole story on why the band is no longer called Devil You Know and how they came up with their new name, Light the Torch. But don't worry, Howard said they're still going to play all those killer Devil You Know songs on tour. Howard's also talking about his struggle with manic depression, how that affected his relationship with his former band Killswitch Engage. He's speaking pretty candidly about his years trying different medications to get his illness in check, and now how years later he's medication-free and the happiest he's ever been. Howard's got tour stories, stories about being mistaken for 80s British musician Howard Jones. Stories about living in my hometown, Winnipeg. He moved there 6 years ago or so. You hear why. And of course, we'll talk more about the Heavens Metal podcast, our Christian metal group text with Howard, myself, and Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show. Lots of great stuff with my good friend Howard Jones returning to Talk is Jericho. But Fozzie, speaking of returning, we are returning back on the road. We started in Chicago. We played Chicago the other night. Packed house. Tonight we're playing a sold-out show in Detroit, Rock City. Tomorrow, a sold-out show in Dayton, Ohio. Then we come back next Monday, April 2nd, Cleveland, House of Blues. April 3rd, Pittsburgh at Jurgles. April 4th, Clifton Park at the Upstate Concert Hall. April 5th, New York at the Gramercy. Get your tickets soon for the Gramercy. This show is going to sell out. We're going to have our first New York City sellout at the Gramercy. Get ready for that. And we also sold out Philly at the Foundry on April 6th. April 7th, Portland, Maine at Aura. April 8th, Hampton Beach, New Hampshire at Wally's. And I know for a fact that that's WrestleMania Day. But don't you fret. You can come see Fozzie. We're playing an early show. Then stick around and watch WrestleMania with me and the rest of the band in Hampton Beach at Wally's. Go check out all the information for that show and the remaining shows on this tour at FozzyRock.com. And come join us for the VIP meet and greet. One of the best in the business. We've sold out VIPs in a lot of cities. Portland is sold out. New York is sold out. Chicago was sold out. But make sure you get a part of this. You get to see a private concert. We'll play songs you're not going to hear later on that night. You're also going to get a meet and greet, a picture, get to hang out, all that sort of stuff. Check us out on the Instagram at FozzyRock.com. Go to our Instagram story and see all about that. Also, Fort Myers, April 19th, we're playing at the Buddha Lounge. So go down and check that out right before 98 Rock Fest in Tampa. Then we're doing Earth Day birthday on Sunday in Orlando. And then we head over to South Carolina. All the information on FozzyRock.com. So go check that out now and check out Howard Jones and his new band, Light the Torch, right here on Talk is Jericho. So the return of one of my favorite guests, Howard Jones. Not the other Howard Jones.
Yeah, not the cool one.
But it's funny because here we are in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And Howard is one of the few people that I know that ever moved to Winnipeg. And a couple days ago, sitting in this exact chair was Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall, mm-hmm. another guy that moved to Winnipeg. I've mentioned your name. Like, yeah. What the hell is, what's going on here? But you like Winnipeg. You've been here for how long?
Wow. Man, what's it been? Like 6-7 years?
Wow.
Something. Yeah, it's just, I mean, come on. I came here, and yeah, the winters are something else, but you know, and plus I'm always bouncing around.
Sure, you're on the road all the time.
Yeah, so it's like I don't get to spend very much time here, but so you know, when I am here, I'm fishing, I'm you're hiking
kind of,
around.
Yeah, you're kind of incognito because there's a lot of dudes you've met the last couple of days that you live here.
They're just like, you have a place here? I'm like, I'm known to pop in from time to time.
Do you ever go anywhere?
No, I do not. Well, I just hang out outdoors, man.
But we had a good couple days, man.
Yeah.
We went to Guns N' Roses the other day.
Yeah, we did.
What a great show that was, man.
Yeah, and just, it was surprisingly crowded in there.
Jam-packed.
I mean, first couple songs, and it was standing room.
When we were walking through that concourse to get to the elevator that we needed to go, I have never been in a venue that crowded.
No.
In the concourse. It was shoulder to shoulder. We couldn't, like, remember, we were like, we couldn't move.
Yeah, it was insanity. And then of course add to the fact that, you know, this is your hometown. It was literal fame rape.
You remember that one lady? She's like, and literally, you're walking, but we're still walking slow. And she's like, Chris Jericho, I've got 8 kids, and one of the kids loves you. And I can't stop.
Yeah, you got to, you know, they'll throw just the deepest emotions at you in the shortest period of time.
Yeah, my son, like, you know, and that wasn't this. But my son is terminally ill, dying, and he wants to, I can't listen to the story. I'm sorry. I mean, it's crush time.
I know. It's like, my brother's dead. I love the lion salt. You know, just, okay. What do you say to that?
do you ever have problems at the airport here leaving Winnipeg?
No.
Because it's always super packed there.
It is. It's starting to get a lot more traffic. But no, I usually don't have a problem.
But it's hard. That's one thing when I lived in Calgary and working in the States, going through the customs all the time, it's mm-hmm. a little bit of a hassle. You
know, it can be.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, luckily there's nothing on my record. Thank goodness. And but I'll have to say, like, going through Montreal, I just don't enjoy that at all.
Mm.
It's one of the worst as far as lines for customs and security. And
does that happen quite a bit where you go Winnipeg, Montreal, then Montreal across the border there?
Yeah, or just, you know, it's like, oh, hey, I'm going to go on a fishing trip. And so you end up going through Montreal for some unknown reason. Or, I'm, you know, or sometimes you go through Toronto and, oh, do something with that airport. But, but yeah, it's just, for me, Montreal always seems to be the longest waits for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But
we were talking about you being here and how little you sleep because you're walking. You've lost a lot of weight, dude. is walking like at 3 in the morning one of the reasons why?
It does happen. Well, I'm
the only guy that sleeps less than me is you.
Yeah, pretty much.
If I text you at any time, most likely you're awake.
Yeah, chances are I'm gonna respond.
I think you texted me last night and said, "I'm already up walking the dog." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm already up, still up."
I know you hadn't even slept yet.
I woke up this morning and I was looking through the text and I was like, "Why is there a picture of Baron Cross from 1987?" I'm like, "Wow, I sent it to you at 7 a.m.
You did. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, "Is he really like listening to Baron Cross at this time?"
I don't know why. I don't remember anything about it, to be honest with you. But
oh, that's
idea.
Funny.
But you have lost a lot of weight, man.
Yeah. Right. I'm walking, hiking, running. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna try and do a 10K or two this year. But
with Richard?
Yeah.
Heaven's Metal group text.
Yeah, he's definitely pushing to.
He's inviting you to go walking. He's showing us pictures of his guinea pigs. I'm trying to give him my guinea pigs.
Yo, what is his obsession with guinea pigs?
Guinea pigs and striper.
Oh, he is truly just. That's a whole other subject we can go now.
Oh, dude, that is so funny. Sometimes on those group texts, they will get off into a tangent about whatever Tim Gaines or your acronym. anagrams, acronyms,
whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
but that's so funny because, you know, knew you a little bit, knew Richard a little bit, but it's like we talk almost every day.
Yeah,
you become really good friends just from this group text.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then it's like when we do hang out, it's just like kind of catching up with everything.
Right.
So I was wanting to laugh about that. Just meeting your dad and just, it's like, hey, just like, wow, it's a pleasure meeting you. And it's like, yeah, he's really good at anagrams. It's just, that's how you introduce me, man.
Well, listen, everyone's going to say, hey, Howard was in Killswitch. The devil, you know, he's a great singer. That he's great at anagrams, which to people that don't know is like Jones, and you would do like, you know, just only new easy, you know, samurai or whatever it is. I'm very bad at them. Howard's very good at them. What was the one that you came up with during the Christian metal one that was just hilarious? I can't remember. Was it,
dude? I don't know. It just kind of comes
when we were going through all of those ones with like Michael Sweet, where you were saying he was like a dictator or something. And you see him as wicked, like, oh my gosh, this is funny. So,
at least for us,
yeah,
hilarious. Anyone else who's listening to this,
but they know about this by now. When Jones is on, they're not going to talk about anything smart.
Oh yeah,
there is. We mentioned Killswitch and mentioned Devil You Know, but both of those are in the past, and the new band, which is the old band, is Light the Torch.
Yes,
and you played a couple tunes, and dude, it's very different from anything you've done. It's super radio friendly, super accessible, and you're singing great on it.
Thank you.
It's a whole new vibe for this new band name.
Yeah, it is, and this is actually one of the first times I'm really talking about
it. Did I just give that away? Was this supposed to be a surprise?
It's coming out.
We'll put this out when people know about it already.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's coming out. Plus, that's the thing. We're actually shooting the video, so I'll be...
Last night?
No. I'm about to head back to L.A.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I'll be out there.
What's the song you're going to do?
Die Alone.
Great tune, man.
Yeah, nice.
That's the one you sent me and Richard. We're listening. Yep. The thing I love about it too is if you send a song or I send a song, like I'll listen to it when I get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, if the song is 4 minutes long, you send him a song, and if he's not doing anything, like 4 minutes and 10 seconds later,
yeah.
This is really great, Howard. Your sounds are great. I'm like, how did you even have enough time to listen to that?
Yeah, that dude is taking notes on it. What in the world? And, yeah, and he'll give you detailed info back. Yeah. It's like, man, it's a great dude to bounce some ideas on.
That's right. But so what, why the change in sound?
You know what? We just kind of felt like, why not? Especially with having a different person writing, or, you know, and having a different person not writing. And honestly, I've been doing this for a long time, and I just kind of felt like, wow, that's like one of the few things I haven't done is like just pretty much sing a whole album.
Mm-hmm.
Sing clean just the majority of the album. And so I figured, why not? So we just started writing, and it just progressed, and it's still heavy, but it's just...
You know, it's interesting because it's happened with Shadows and with Corey. screaming, the hardcore screaming, and then suddenly, like Shadows, for example, I think maybe it was City of Evil album, he starts singing. He's like, such a great singer. Corey's such a great singer. You're such a great singer. But it's like you almost didn't know that at first because it's very much, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a whole different vibe, writing and just trying to focus on the songs even more than you do, because screaming, it's a fantastic outlet, and you can literally pour your heart out with no filter, and because you don't have to worry about structuring as much, you know, just depending on the music. I mean, but when you've got these long, heavy songs and you're screaming, man, you can throw anything in there. Writing structured melodies and harmonies and everything, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. And just to actually do this for a whole album, it was just challenging and fun. And so that was half the fun. It was like, okay, I got to clear my head. So I just start walking the streets of LA and listening to music and texting you guys. So yeah, it's like, oh, I need a mental break. And you guys are sending me clips of some old, like some old Christian metal stuff. So I'm like,
White Cross Live. Oh, or
yeah. It's like, oh, a little blood good will settle my nerves.
And I know one of the reasons, like, why did you have to change the name? Because I'm sure people want to know.
Yeah.
Is that something you want to just, I don't want
to. Yeah. I mean, it's not really a fun thing to talk about, but right. The thing is, I'm the guy who doesn't really tell much about me.
I just kind of
like, it's like.
You're not on social media.
Yeah, at all.
No Twitter, no Facebook, no Instagram.
I have never signed up for those things.
I think you've just got a phone. Recently.
Yeah, I did go a pretty long time without one. But, it's just we ended up kicking out our drummer back in, like, June of last year, like 2016. And then he had put out this press release saying that he had quit the band and decided to, you know, move back to Australia. And it was just like, what in the world is going on? It's just because, you know, we just like, wow, we literally just kicked you out. And then there was and what's with the press release? What is that? And so, like, okay, we just had a vibe this was going to get weird. And because Fran and me and the third guy, we'd all started the band, you know, we all had an equal share.
Three guys or four?
Three. So just the three of us had started.
And when you start the band, just so people know, obviously, it's a three-part agreement. You're three owners of the band and the name.
Yeah. Right. And that was it. And fired him. He did not want to give up his portion. And it just went on and on. And there's a long email chain. I could give you date by date and just, it'd be easier to go through that. I'm like, here, this is when everything happened. but after a long time, it was like, okay, we'll buy you out. Here's this. No, I want more. Okay. What's the number you want? Okay. I want this much. Okay. Well, here's a check. Nah, I'd much rather keep it. Unless you want me back in the band and you can announce in a press release that I'm back Reddy's with back, you. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, we're done here. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I'm done. So,
which like, is tough because we
dead catalog.
What's that?
Dead catalog.
Right.
It's a bummer.
And the thing is, too, it's like, and now nobody can use the name and no one's making money off it.
That is exactly
where
right.
You could have had, you know, the guy take this money, you get your money. It's not about the money, but there's a brand that you've established.
Yeah.
Because we talked to this on the first time you came on the show, when you had your issues, you leave Killswitch, you form Devil You Know. Mm-hmm. Devil You Know, that's all I hear about. Devil You Know, you guys are touring with Slayer and you're second or third from the top of the bill on festivals. And there's a real equity in that name.
Oh, we didn't tour with Slayer, but I would have loved
to. Oh, okay.
Killswitch I did, but these guys are dead.
Papa Roach tour.
That was with Papa Roach and Five Finger Death Punch, and you toured with Black Label. Yeah, we had some really good tours. And things were going well. Then there were some issues, and we had to end things. And that was right at the time we were about to do this whole thing with Hatebreed and Devil Driver, because, you know, we did like two full legs with them, And so we're like, hey, we've got to, you know, we kicked him out and we're like, we have to announce that we're looking for a drummer because, you know, we've got to get on the ball and find someone. And he's like, and so as soon as we said, we're going to say we're looking for a drummer, he then kind of gave us a preemptive strike and put out that, you know, he had decided to step down and, and focus on whatever else. And it's just, dude, it got bad enough to where the last thing in our contract is a miscellaneous clause where the record label has some say in who our drummer is. It got that bad.
Wow.
Dude, I can pull it up right now.
They have to approve.
I have the PDF. I can show you too. Yeah. It really? Was. And sorry, and I'm probably not supposed to talk about that, but.
Yeah.
Whoops.
We can cut it if you want. But,
yeah, whatever.
But my question, though, is so weird. Like, when you make this decision to do this, like, you know that you've. I mean, I don't know if you have to start from scratch, but once again, you got to start over. That's a tough thing to have to.
And that's kind of what it is, but. And the thing is, I'd much prefer to just do it and not have to talk about it.
Right.
But I'm literally going to be asked about it
you
all
are
the time.
You're telling the story for the next year.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, oh no, I'm not. It's like it ends here.
This like, is the exclusive. Yeah, one time only. Listen to this, or this is the one time Harry's gonna talk about it.
It's like, oh, you want info? Yeah, take an hour off your time and listen to the podcast, bro.
But you know what's funny too is that like, you know, we're buds. I was never a Killswitch guy. I just wasn't for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But when we hang out, a lot of people. Like, no, Howard Jones. Like, the one cat at DJ's was like, hey, are you Howard Jones?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? Right.
I was like, about to eat some pizza.
But you're a recognizable dude with a big fan base. So that will help you a little bit, I think, with, you know, like, the tours. People are following Howard Jones.
I hope so. You know, and plus, I think the music is going to stand on its own. It's just... Everybody did a fantastic job on it. It's a lot of fun. And literally, I mean, we've talked about that, just how, you know, I'm manic depressive. That's why I don't sleep. It's just, you know, I kind of let the manic part take over. And so I don't have as much down anymore, but I also just don't sleep. So that's kind of weird. But I'm literally enjoying so much of my life now because I just kind of came to terms with the fact that, like, you know, everyone's different in their own way, but it's just, you know, I'm this guy who's going to be awake at weird times. I'm cool with that. I'm tired of fighting it and everything. It's just, I am who I am, and I don't care about, you know, like, you know, money or fame or nothing. I literally just want to enjoy myself. So now on tour, I enjoy myself. That's why, like, me and the guys are camping on our days off. So yeah, you'll see pictures of us. We're camping and fishing and barbecuing and everything. It's like every morning I'm out hiking, you know, or, you know, I'm running, or, you know, with my dog, or, you know, or of course texting nonstop about a certain yellow and black band, you know, but just. You know, I'm enjoying it. And that was a hard, hard struggle for so long for me.
You don't need that shit, right? You're in a place now where you're mentally very happy and comfortable.
Dude, we walked through a crowd. It was like I could never walk through crowds. And it's still hard at times. But us walking through wall-to-wall people, and it was just like...
So that's something that would have freaked you out back in the day?
Absolutely.
In what way? Like, why?
Complete panic attacks.
Just being around that many people?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's still pretty rough at times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know if it's getting older or whatever. It's just, I don't know, man. It just kind of gotten focused with a lot of things, and it just feels good. And so that's why I was like, okay, we're going to change the name. Let's just do something different. Let's try something I hadn't done. Let's try and sing on pretty much the whole thing. So, and so Light the Torch, yeah, it's just heavy but catchy, and hopefully people will be into it.
It almost fits the vibe of like a new band name, but it's like it's a new sound.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if this record came out under Devil You Know, It's not. It's different than that.
Oh, and actually, shoot, I'll say, and I don't even know when this is going to be released, but yeah, like the name of the album is called Revival.
Nice. So, yeah. So how did you come up with the name Light the Torch?
Need something cool. Thought of a few things. Threw it at a wall. That one stuck. If you want deeper meaning than that, it's a lie.
I said you should have called it Light the Flame. Baron Cross song.
Seriously. Michael Drive in the house.
Is it like when you try and think of a band name, do you have to go through like the copyright or whatever to see if anybody else has it?
Of course.
Well, did you have a couple other options or was that the one?
Oh, yeah. We had a few others and I'm sure they were nonsense. And I could dig them out. I'm not going to because I don't want to embarrass myself. Because if people are going to, you come up with a band name, two things are going to be completely true. People are going to love it and people are going to hate it.
Right.
So.
And it's funny too because it's like, a band name. I remember when Mike Portnoy joined up with Billy Sheehan and Richie Costa, they did Winery Dogs. Mm-hmm. And I go, where did that name come from? He's like, ah, Richie want to do it. He's like, I don't like it. It's just a name. It doesn't matter. Like it's the band, it's the music and all stuff. Like I'm in a band called Fozzy. And once the band gets to a certain level, it's just like the band, you don't even think of it weird. Like Def Leppard. Like what a terrible name. But it's like if you literally think about it, a Def Leppard.
Yeah. And apparently it's illiterate because it can't spell correctly. So,
but now and it just becomes part of you know of the culture.
Yeah, definitely. Or it's like or one of the biggest bands now, Green Day. What is that? Yeah, you don't think? Hey, that name is cool.
Well, so you know, like even like okay, Kiss. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's say you and I start a band called Hug, with two G's. You'd be like, that's terrible. But what if we made it so huge? I'm going to go see Hug tonight.
Just, hey, what's up? We're Hug.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So you guys do the record. You got the new band name. Mm-hmm. Is it exciting? But are you still like a little bit like hope people follow me to this next band?
Yeah, I mean, you always hope that people accept it and everything else. But, man, I'm just, at the end of the day, it was such a good experience writing and just, it would just clear my head, like, just listen to it, just write, just whatever came to mind, just let it go. And so I would just be walking and occasionally take a break, text, you know, hey, okay, listen to a little music, get back to, you know, the demos and all that. And
writing, it was... You're writing while you're walking?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wrote the whole album while walking.
Hmm. Do you sing it to your iPhone, or how do you do it?
No, I just remember melodies for some reason. I don't know what that is. Everyone's like, dude, you got to use your voice memos. I don't.
remember?
Yeah, it's weird.
Because I come up with stuff sometimes, and I'm like, oh, this is genius. And before I can do it, put it down or sing it or whatever, I forget. Or like, it's not right. It's like, how did I do that again?
Yeah.
You don't have that problem.
I'll try to remember. Or, you know, if I come up with a melody, I'll, like, sing it to myself. And generally, I'll remember it. Or if... I don't know why. I can still remember stuff that I wrote when I was, you know, just young and... terrible. Just like, oh, why did I write that? I don't know why. I just remember that stuff.
So do you feel now, like when you're talking about like, enjoying yourself and being like, you know, so happy and excited, a lot of that has to do, A, because when you're talking about your manic depressiveness, is there some like prescriptions that you take for that?
Oh, I did for longest time.
But not now?
No. Wow. I'm off of everything.
So that's a big thing.
Yeah, I honestly do think it was like... putting on running shoes and going. And just for me, I'm OCD about this stuff. Of course. Yeah, it's like, you know, physically pushing yourself, it's supposed to mentally help. Everyone you know, everyone who's, you know, like a trainer to just a person who likes to run or likes to walk or swim or whatever, they'll tell you that. And yeah, it is true. Me? Yeah, I probably shouldn't be doing 15 miles a day every day, but you know, I get a little obsessed about stuff.
But that kind of like,
but that's honestly, that's what I did. Just that, and just started working out a bit, and
that replaces like your addictions. That is your addiction.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we met Duff the other day, and Duff is a workout fanatic.
Absolutely,
because that's what he started doing to get clean.
Yeah.
You know, his pancreas exploded, the whole story. So he became a workout fanatic, and that's his new addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like just replacing that for you.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. We were talking about that. And just it, and I think maybe I was just born without enough serotonin or something like that. I don't know. There's whatever. Mm. But yeah, it just for me, I pretty much now just go to exhaustion. And then I can start my day.
Hmm. Interesting. It's
weird. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird talking about this because I've never really talked much about it. I mean, like, you know some of this stuff, but you probably not as much detail. But, you know, a lot of my friends and the guys in the band, they've seen it. And they're just – and so when people find out, they're like, what? He sleeps through? They're like, yeah, he does. Like, you know, or just like I'll be staying with Fran, and you know, I'll just have keys to his place, and I'm leaving at just the weirdest hours because I'm out running down the street. But he's like, yeah, he does. But
that's your thing.
It works. Yeah.
You mentioned something cool too. Like when you said you're on the road, you guys go camping.
Yeah.
Like, the last tour we did. We bought a mountain bike and just threw it in the trailer.
Yep.
And Billy, our guitar player, and me, we would share it. You want it first, don't want it first. And just having that bike.
Yeah.
Because when you go to a gig, I mean, you're hanging out for 5, 6, 7 hours, mm-hmm. basically doing nothing. But having that bike was the one little ticket to freedom to go wherever we wanted.
Yep.
In whatever town we were in.
Ding, ding,
and
ding.
And boy, what a difference it made.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. It, like, when you're sitting there, and that's when you're just bored, and you know, and that's what drove me nuts. I think it's just I don't know what to do with myself, and I didn't know I was manic. So it's just I can't get this rush that I get, you know, where I'm on stage, which is fantastic, but you know, 23 hours of your day is right. Not that. And
I
so
tell the story of the time Alice Cooper says they don't pay me for the show; they pay me for the other 23 hours.
Seriously. So yeah, and so then it's like, oh man, what do I do? And I think it really started for me when we toured the UK. And remember, I was sending you guys pictures.
Yeah. So it was recently, like last 6 months or something.
Yeah, and that's when I really kicked it up a bit. It's like went to the UK, and you know, we were sharing a bus. There was just a ton of dudes in there. So it was just there was like 16 dudes, and I think one girl, and it just.
Who are you sharing with?
With the band Oni.
Okay.
And so there was, and we were just doing a headline run of clubs in the UK. And just, you know, within 2 days, you know what it smelled like in there.
It's just ass.
Yeah, it was just like a mix between like coffee and just lunch meat that's been sitting out in the sun. So and I was like, oh man, and I'm up because I can't sleep. I'm like, what do we do? And it wasn't far drives. And so it's like, okay, we're in Birmingham. So I would just start walking the streets, listening to this, you know, throwing some stripers, start walking around. Next thing you know, man, I'm just clocking miles and kind of enjoyed it. Then kind of kept going. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, I feel better than I have in a long time. So
it's interesting, too, because I did not do that this last tour, which was in May. And before that, I was the guy that would sleep until 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I decided I'm not doing this anymore because you're wasting your day. You know, it's shit.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I'm up at, what I do for me is I'll get the press guy, book me on a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the rock radio station is or TV, morning television, whatever, get me there where I have to be up at 9 or 7 or 8 or whatever. I have no excuse.
Yeah.
And that way I have to go to bed a little bit earlier and then I'm up and I can go have breakfast, which is important. And then I have a day. And then when I do the gig, I feel so much better.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to get lazy when you're on tour.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the thing is, I just didn't know that this is what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's true. It works, man. You just give yourself a goal or what you have to do. But for me, I don't even really get that much jet lag anymore. Just my body's gonna snap me up.
Wow.
I can sleep for about 3 hours, and even then it's not solid. I can fall asleep real fast, but yeah, my body's gonna wake me up.
So it's when you're talking about manic, you say you're manic, what exactly does that mean?
Just okay, like when I do wake up, a lot of times it's just I am panicked. Like just I wake up really hard, heart rate's going, sweating. Just it can be cold.
And even
just,
now yeah, too.
Gotcha. Still, that there are some downsides to being like this. so yeah, I'll wake up and just splash water on my face. But thing is, it's like when it's that bad, wake up, I'm up. Man, it's done.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's how I am.
So that's the sort of thing, like when you talked about being in this crowd of people,
yeah,
you would just start panicking.
Yeah, that's how I would feel all the time. So just the rapid heartbeat, just, you know, probably a good 140 per minute, you know, just craziness. And I had a tour manager do that. We had a signing, sat down, and he just watched me, and he said, I've never seen anyone break into a visible, disgusting sweat like that. It was like this, and I just said, please don't make me laugh in the midst of my struggle. So, you know, just.
But people don't understand that because they would probably think either you're shy or maybe like, oh, he kind of doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's kind of standoffish. But that's not the case.
No, no, not at all.
It's the fact that you just are like freaked out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was always like that. And I couldn't really verbalize it because I didn't understand it. I didn't know what I was and just didn't even. Yeah, I didn't know that I was manic until I like went for a doctor's appointment, and doctor was like, I was explaining something, and he said, "Wow, you're really manic today." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know, he's like, dude, you're really hyper. You're really manic." And I was like, "I don't get it." And he just said, "Oh, Howard, that explains a lot." And I just said, "What?" What? And then that's when the whole like drug regimen started, and oh, it's such a trial and error because
the prescriptions.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. You try all these different things that are It wasn't me. Like, all right, well, take doctor two. Said I'm manic. Here comes the LSD. No, it wasn't anything like that. No, it was just I was trying everything.
What you're saying is it's not as simple as saying take two of these and, you know, call me in the morning.
No, it is trial and error.
Wow.
And it took years. And I mean, there were some that had really bad side effects. Like one gave me tremors for 6 to 9 months. And they said you're supposed to stop if you start feeling it because it can become permanent. And
what?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can't remember which one it was because I went through like a dozen different things. Man, I can't believe I'm talking about all this.
I'm very sly that way.
I know. Look at you.
That's what let me sometimes. I can't believe I've been talking this long. But yeah, I'm a wizard. I mesmerize you. Keep talking, Howard. But this is very interesting to me because I'm thankfully not manic.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what that means. So to explain this, but so they have to find the right combination of whatever it is to help you. So
yeah.
It's not just simple like here's the manic depressive prescription. You'd think that they would have that.
Yeah, it is. I think every person is different. Everyone has varying degrees of stuff. Everyone has different reactions to
all
these unnatural things that they're making. You know, and for some people it does work. Some of it didn't for me. And I know like I said, every side effect, it comes with that. And it just all the stuff I was taking. And the last stuff I had like Lexapro and Wellbutrin that you're supposed to take together. And it was rough.
And that's the reason why you parted ways with Killswitch, right?
Oh, no. I had started on some of that stuff, and then it got worse because – you've got all these side effects and everything's not helping you yet. It's like, it's like, okay, take this, you know, it's going to take a while for it to take effect. And then sometimes you would just feel nothing, or you just felt numb.
Right.
Or sometimes you just felt on edge, and it was just very, very strange. And you have to deal with the dosages. So it was just odd. And when I was with those guys, it was just, we got together, started demoing, and they're like, okay, we'll meet here at Adams. And I don't know, I drove away, and it was just, I don't know, the thought of going through another cycle of pouring my heart out on lyrics, and then going to the studio and doing that again, and then going on tour for what would undoubtedly be, you know, like solid years. Yeah. It was just like, I just drove away and just did not return. And then, you know, end up talking to him on the phone, and, you know, that was that, you know. But it was, yeah, I was just overwhelmed. It was just, I mean, I basically, my life was just falling apart, and there was just, I had no idea what was going on. And it just, so I took time off, came back, started doing Devil You Know. I think I came back too soon because I...
Really?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Because definitely know you guys did two records, right?
Yeah. I think I came back too soon. Just mentally, wasn't prepared for it. I think I still needed time off because it was still very hard being in front of crowds. It was still hard being just alone for... You know, not just alone, but more of just like surrounded and by myself in these, you know, in like in a bus, in an RV, in a van, or whatever. Just, what am I doing? Because I still didn't know how to cope. And so it was a struggle. It was definitely what I was supposed to do, but it would have been much easier if I'd have came back.
It's tough though, because let's think about this. This is your job. This is how you pay the bills.
Yeah. And it's like the one thing I love.
Right.
And so I was talking to, and it's funny, you were bringing that up, and I'm just going to interrupt you because did.
It's your show.
I know.
Talk is Jones ago.
Yeah, you took it out of my mouth. So yeah, I was talking to Mark from Lamb of God, and he was just like, man, I get it. You know, when you left, he's like, but you came back. It was why? It's just, he was like, you knew you'd be in vans and stuff again. Just why? And I said, what else do I know? And the thing is, I still love to be on a stage. It was just everything else was hard. But, you know, I thought I was doing better. Got back on the road. I'm like, nope, still really hard. And it was just a struggle just figuring out my footing. But the thing is, the guys in the band have my back, management have my back, labels have my back, you know. So shout out to the guys, you know, Monty, George, Fran, Ryan, and our new drummer. Yeah, I guess that'll get announced soon.
The new drummer is. I'll tell you what, Avenged Sevenfold announced their new drummer on Talkers Jericho.
Really?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Scuzz, there you go. You're the man now.
What a great rock and roll name, Scuzz.
Seriously.
Like, I just want to be in a band with Scuzz, you know? It's funny, too, what you were saying about this, because I know what you mean, like talking about, and you think, oh, these celebrities talking about, but I have played shows in front of 100,000 people, 10,000 people, and afterwards you go back to your room and you by yourself.
Yeah.
And you got, man, I wish I could find somebody to go hang out with or do something, but I'm just going to sit here by myself and do nothing.
Yeah.
It's a lonely existence being on the road.
Yeah.
It really is. You know?
Yeah. And if you don't have some sort of coping mechanism, you're screwed.
Sure.
And thing is, I would see everybody else having fun, but it's just, I didn't realize that I'm a little off kilter and I need to do something a little more for me.
Right.
And so, yeah, just figured out, like, it's just, I have to move. It's like, so I've got to get out. So, you know, just like when I was in the UK, I'm seeing the city.
Yeah.
I was just everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and people were like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Hanging out. Then just, boom, I'm everywhere. Then go on stage, have a blast. I'm so tired. Oh, at the end of the night, crash for 2 hours. Dude, I'm the guy who gets to know the bus driver. I'd see it. He'd hear a noise and just come running out. He's like, oh, of course it's you. Because he'd see me there putting on.
There's always the guy who sits in the front seat by the bus driver. There's always that jump seat there.
I am that guy. I've always been that guy. And that's the thing. Even when I was with Killswitch, I would always be up late. Or when we were in a van, I was a guy who would be driving all night with Joel listening to power metal, occasionally like Sacred Warrior. It's like Joel's down. But yeah, it's just, I didn't know it was because it was just super manic, even as a kid. That's why I speak the way I do, is because I couldn't sleep at night, so I just read books. When I was a kid, that's all I did. And so in summer, I'd play sports, but then I'd just walk to the library and read and then check out books and read all night and do the same thing every day. That was my summers. So, yeah, I never pieced together, oh, dude, you were just super hyper. So, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned being a kid going to the library and stuff. And so you're born, I think, in the 70s, same as me. So when you're about 14 or 15, your name is Howard Jones.
Oh, good.
But one of the biggest guys on the radio, is Howard Jones. How much grief did that give you?
Man, combine that with Howard the Duck, the movie. It's like the 80s were my own personal hell. It was rough.
I still get that. Yeah, my friend Howard Jones is coming. No, not that Howard Jones. So how is that for you, though? Like, when it came on the radio, like, is it cool, or are kids making jokes?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there was like an episode of The Simpsons where like some guy's name was Homer Simpson and he wore this scarf. And so Homer was like, oh, that's cool. You know, so at first it's kind of cool, you know, that first half an hour. After that, man, when your teachers are doing it, it was rough.
The roll call, please. George Johnson, Adam Mitchell, Howard Jones. And you see this black kid sitting there.
or they come out with the goofy puns. You know, it's like, all right, Howard Jones. Oh, you are here. Well, looks like things can only get better from this, huh? Like, really, man?
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Wow. Sling something new at me, all right? God.
It's funny. Howard Jones, you have to have a meeting with Howard Jones.
I know.
That would be so great.
Dude, when we were on tour with Hatebreed, and we were basically, I think we were playing like a night before or after Howard Jones. He was doing the same clubs we were doing. And so it was the same night that this guy got thrown out of the club. He got thrown out and broke his leg. And the only thing is, he was drunk and security threw him out. He broke his leg. Only thing is, the other leg was fake. So yeah, he was in bad shape. It was rough. So yeah, I remember that night really well.
I wonder if that Howard Jones knows about you.
I don't know.
If people ask him, Howard Jones from Kiel Switch? No.
Or yeah.
I'm the other Howard Jones.
The black mite.
You know, it's funny. No. A couple things. One time we had a show. And somebody, you know, people sometimes they throw, like, you know, the old school panties on stage or a bra or like demo tapes. A guy threw his fake leg on stage once, which was good. The other one that was crazy, have you ever had this at your show where a wheelchair crowd surfs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
That is insane.
Dude. Right? Okay, this reminds me of one. Like, I've seen the wheelchair surf, and it's pretty funny.
Basically, they're picking up a wheelchair and surfing.
Yeah. Well, there was this one guy, and it was this Christian metal band, Zao.
Yeah. Zaya?
Zao. Z-A-O. They've been around forever. Just heavy band. I've always enjoyed them.
I think
them.
I might have one of their
albums. You might. Albums. They've been around for a long, long time. But I believe it was in Alabama. So they're, you know, I'm like kind of buried in the stage with a bunch of other people watching. And there's a bunch of people on the floor watching. I believe it was like the furnace room, something like that. And so there's this guy in the wheelchair. He's watching him, and just, you know, the music's picking up, and it's right at the part where everybody's going to be singing along. This guy, he waits for it. He rolls the chair, hits the brake right at the edge, launches himself into the crowd.
What?
It was pure gold, man. It was gold.
He stays rolled?
Yeah.
So what happened? People come
he surfaced to air, bro.
Did he get back on stage and back in the
chair? He eventually made it back. Yeah, it was all good.
That is so great.
It was amazing.
Did you ever do that? Sometimes just jump into the crowd. Is that ever your thing?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I used to do lots of stuff like that.
We had a show in Perth. And Kerry King is a Fozzy fan. He always comes and checks us out when we're playing.
What's up, Kerry?
Yeah,
I haven't talked to that dude in a minute.
Great brother. But, you know, we're always on at like, you know, 2 or 3. But he gets up early, comes and checks it out. And I don't care who you are, where you are. When you have somebody like that watching, mm-hmm. no matter how many gigs you've done, it's like there's f***ing Kerry King's watching. This is pretty great. So I go on the drum riser. And at the end of the song, I do like a big jump, David Lee Roth. Not the David Lee Roth split, but I'm jumping in the air and doing the big jump, and I land. And when I landed, I fell. So time stands still, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't let Kerry King see this because he's going to bust my balls until the end of time. So I jump in the air, I land, I fall down, I do a front roll, and as I do a front roll, I take my inner ears out, and I do the front roll onto my feet and jump straight into the crowd. It's like the greatest stage dive of all time. Back on stage, do the thing. After his carry, goes, "You motherfucker." He goes, "I was gonna bust your balls for the rest of life, but then you pulled it out and did something even cooler." I was like, "I had to."
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
Dude, that's a way to think on your feet, on your butt, head.
Did you ever have anything like that when you're climbing or jumping or any of those?
Oh, yeah. I remember doing that once, just super icy outside. I slipped, but then suddenly I felt like breakdancing. So that's actually what that's what I was actually trying to pull off. But yeah, I did. That was a real thing.
The show must go on, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a screw up unless you let people know it's a screw up.
Oh, yeah. And I just got up, brushed myself off. I'm like, yeah, nailed it. Meant to do that.
Nailed it. You know, I wanted to talk to you the last time we were on the show. It was with Richard, and we were about ready to go to the Striper gig at the Stone Pony.
Mm-hmm.
What a great gig that was. How much fun was that?
Yeah, that was so much fun. And honestly, wish that Richard would have been with us. It would have made the evening that much better. Plus, plus him meeting any of those guys, it just, you know what would happen.
Talking about the Guns N' Roses guys?
Yeah. Anytime he... Richard is just... He's just Richard. I love that guy.
They do... the show that we saw was To Hell with the Devil in its entirety.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes.
And when they started playing the song Holding On, which is maybe like one of the worst songs.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. It's still a good song.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you know... Just one of their stronger ones. Nah.
You don't go to the gig going, I can't wait until they play Holding On.
No.
What was Richard doing during Holding On?
The man was crying.
And that's not an exaggeration, by the way.
It was real. It's real to me. I had to go ahead and throw that in just before my love of wrestling. Like, I kind of went down the Ralphus rabbit hole too. Man, those were fantastic times. But yeah, Richard was. You could just see the joy that was radiating off of him.
Yeah.
It's real. It is real.
But you know what's cool? I was going to say this too. We went afterwards and met the guys, and we took a picture with you and me and Richard and the four dudes from Striper.
Yep.
And the look on your face in that picture was joy as well. I think you...
Absolutely.
That was pretty cool, right? Because you had never met them before.
Oh, no, not at all. And that's what I was telling you. I remember figuring out I could do certain notes or like start singing, like, just figuring out my voice to make me want to sing, man. Just those high notes and just how strong his vibrato is.
Which is interesting because now you're getting to use that with like the tour. Like, that's what I mean. Like, the singing that you're doing is much more akin to Striper's style.
than
Killswitch, right?
It was just a different approach. It still has some aggression and everything else, but it was fun getting to use everything that I've always enjoyed.
That range.
Yeah. And plus, there's still some screaming in it because, it's just me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you're going and singing like pop tunes.
No. And it's still real heavy.
Yeah, too. It's very heavy. But I like clean singing. I think that might be one of the reasons why I never got into Killswitch. And it's the same reason, I'll say it too, never got into Slipknot. I don't like that type of singing. You know me, dude. Striper, Dickinson.
Oh, yeah.
Mercury, Paul Stanley. Even Hetfield never barked. Hetfield is a great singer, too.
Yep.
So that's why I like it when guys like yourself, and I mentioned Shadows before, and Corey, start singing this way. That's the bands. I love Stone Sour. I love the last four Avenged records. I don't like the first two. And I like
gotcha.
The Torch. I like Devil, too. Devil, was not as screamy.
Yeah, it would be real heavy at times. But then there were songs that just kind of exploring. And that's kind of the way I have to look at that. Is like not as, these are just dead albums. It's more just like learning curve. It was a step, just to get to where I was going.
Right.
Because we literally had so much fun recording the album. I never had an experience like that, and to be that involved with it, and just the fact all the melodies and everything, that was all me. Even with producers, it's you're getting push and pull, but honestly, it's kind of like we kind of self-produce and had a producer, but really it was us. They just
who produced helped, it?
These guys, Josh and Joseph, and Josh is the bass player from Woven War and As I Lay Dying.
Okay. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, those guys did an awesome job, and it was just a lot of fun.
That's
great.
A lot
of fun. So yeah, it was at Echelon Studios.
Gotcha.
So yeah, Glendale represent.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. You mentioned wrestling earlier, and I forgot that's one of the reasons why we connected first, because you were a wrestling fan. Are you still a wrestling fan?
Oh yeah.
Are you watching the product?
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you think about it?
I think I've missed the past like couple weeks, but I'm enjoying that you're seeing a lot of the new blood. You're seeing a lot of this is the big thing. It's like people getting the call up. And it's fantastic seeing the guys that you've always wanted to see.
Like
AJ, and getting to see you and Owens, man.
Mm.
That was so much fun.
No, it really was.
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny because I did that spoken word show last night, and I got a video. It's about a 10-minute intro video.
Yeah, I wanted to come to that.
Dude, and we're watching through, and I had a guy make it for me. It's just to pick some good stuff. I know he knows what. And there's a couple of spots of me and Owens doing some things. It's like, it was really, really fun. It was funny stuff. And it's one of those things, and you know this as a pro. When you catch that lightning in a bottle, you gotta milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah,
And it was a good year.
That's awesome. I had heard that you really weren't going to be out that long, but it just kept going. But man, every time you guys were stepping out, this is so funny. This is just so funny, and that's what's been cool too. It's like you're just you, but at the same time, I've been watching you wrestle for so long. It is hilarious because I remember getting little bits of you like in ECW, and then when you got to WCW, I was just absorbing all that. But I mean, I started watching Georgia Championship.
Well, even when we went to the show the other day with Dr. Luther, you knew his work.
Oh, yeah.
He was exclusively Japan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the cool thing about all the videos now on YouTube. But I've always had friends who are way into wrestling who were just big nerds. Like one of my friends in New York who gave me VCR tapes of every Saturday night main event.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I have them all on VCR.
You know what's funny? I had Charlie Ebersol on the show, who's Dick Ebersol's son.
Oh, wow.
And Dick Ebersol and Vince did Saturday Night Main Event. And so we were talking about the XFL because Charlie's dad was involved. He did a documentary on
it. He hate me.
I had to do that one time, a referee, a match with a He Hate Me jersey on.
Oh,
and Vince,
my Lord.
I said, why do I have to wear this? He goes, you have to because we're trying to promote him. But why is the referee, me, wearing a jersey with He Hate Me? He goes, don't give me logic, Chris. Just put the thing on. All right. One, two, kick out. He hit me on the back of my thing.
Oh, my God.
But what I was going to say is that we're going to do another podcast with Charlie about Saturday night's main event because he knows the whole story in the ring. But what a great thing that was. I used to love that.
Oh, it was fantastic, man. Just the fact that I got to see it when like usually, you know, we'd be watching Saturday Night Live or something like that. Cause you know, right. my brother got me into comedy big time, but then wrestling too. And so, oh, I was just in heaven, man. I would sneak over to my friend's house and try and watch wrestling. He's like, nope, you got to come in for dinner. I'd be watching wrestling through their window because they had cable and I didn't. Dude, I was a fiend.
But we used to have parties. It'd be like you said, like once a month, you'd go to somebody's house and watch Saturday Night's Main Event. It was a real big thing.
Oh, absolutely, you know? Man.
Classic stuff. Always,
oh, yeah.
You know, always be. I remember like the... Corporal Kirshner.
Wow.
I used to like him because he like was an army guy.
Yeah.
He lasted for about a week. But I still remember he had a zip line where he got on top. They're at a water park. They did a whole vignette at the water park. He took a zip line down into the pool.
That.
And I remember like thinking like, I wish I could do that someday. And I still remember stupid Corporal Kirshner with the zip line going down into the pool. Like, you know.
Corporal Kirshner, that is so funny. I mean, he kind of had the buzz cut.
He ended up going to Japan as like a Leatherface type guy and some death wrestling company, got busted for something and spent like 6 months in a Japanese prison, which is like basically being in a box.
Wow.
So there you go.
So basically he checked into a hotel there.
Where do you like to go around the world? Do you like going to Japan?
Yeah, I do. And just because it's just very interesting. However, I want to go now because I'll probably be able to handle it a little better. Because, come on, you know, like that intersection in Tokyo streets, it's insanity.
It's like the concourse at the stadium the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wall to wall people.
Oh, yeah. And it's like the light hits, boom, there you go. Mm-hmm. And I remember being there and I was just like following the guys around. And then I remember us going out to eat. Like a promoter took us out to eat. We're at this nice restaurant, and I would just ghost everybody. Mm. I would just, you know, it's like we'd be eating. I would just leave. Mm. Just, you know, so everyone's still there. Like I would pretend to go to the bathroom, and I would literally just go back to the hotel room and just be a weirdo by myself.
But see, I've heard that before about Howard Jones. It's like, oh yeah, I met Howard Jones like 5 years ago. He wasn't really very friendly. It's like, well, that's because he had a lot of problems.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't being rude. It was being like scared or freaked out. Yeah,
yeah, and it's weird because I never thought much about that, but now I see it and I see it from other people's perspective. I'm like, oh yeah, I could definitely see how they thought I was just the biggest jerk in the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as for me, I would just avoid crowds at any cost. So I got to go to some of the coolest places in the world and never see anything. So it's like, and I think I was talking about that with I forget who I was talking to, but it's just a couple of your boys that came, and I was just like, yeah, I've been to Paris probably one or two dozen times. I still haven't been to the Eiffel Tower. I still haven't seen the Arc. I've gone nowhere. I go there and I would do interviews, maybe do some laundry, play a show, sit on the bus. And a lot of times that was even hard in Paris because there's nowhere to park in Paris.
Oh, that's a hard town.
Yeah.
Here's nothing that people don't really know. When you're touring and you're on the tour bus, there's certain cities that you cannot take the bus into.
Yep.
Either there's too much traffic or there's actually regulations. Mm-hmm. So like New York City, you have to pay, I think, like $150 to get a permit to go in the city.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm sure you've done this. You park at that hotel or that parking lot in Jersey and take cars into the city.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's pulled that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is another one. I think London is getting like that now.
Yeah, and there's only like a few of the big places in the city where buses can park, and even then it's only limited. So, like, you play like the Roseland or, you know, like the Roseland Ballroom or, I don't know, is it Hammerstein or Hammersmith?
Yeah, I know. Irving Plaza.
Yeah, there you go. So, like, occasionally there'll be a place, but for the most part, you drop your stuff off quick and make sure that you've got somebody there to watch it.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to steal it or urinate on it. So, but yeah, it's just there's nowhere to go. And that happens a lot in Europe.
Oh, yeah, in Europe. But, yeah. Quite often.
So it's like, yeah, you guys got to grab your stuff because the bus is going to be leaving about 20 minutes away. And well, if you want to stay with the bus, there's no power and you'll have to call cab.
Yeah. But, and that's funny thing, too. No power. That's the bus life. If you can plug in somewhere, that means you get your air conditioning, your license, there's no power. You're sitting in a hot box.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, and it doesn't matter what time of year it is, it's a hot box.
And I'm always so nervous for me because like I have so much shit. Like my stage clothes is like one jacket, other jacket. I'm always scared I'm going to leave something. So I just bring everything.
Yep.
I'm the worst drop and go guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. You've got to, you just got to haul everything with you. So, because, yeah, if you forget something on your checklist, you're screwed. So, yeah.
So what's the buzz for Light the Torch now? It's like, is the team ready, the record company, everyone excited about it? What's the plan?
Yeah, it seems that way. Just shooting the first video and, for Die Alone. And, hopefully people will enjoy it. And maybe radio will want to hear more from us, you know.
Yeah.
And if anything, you know, just, come see us play. Because I honestly, you know, the success is fantastic, but it's honestly not what I'm focused on because I've done this for a long time and I've been real lucky. And it's just the one thing I just had a hard time doing was just being happy and fulfilled. I had great moments, but just to wake up, you know, other than my complete panic mode when I wake up most of the time, like, where am I? You know, other than that, to wake up and actually, you know, feel like, you know, I'm not about to jump off a cliff. And it's like, for me, that's great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully we can just tour a bunch, you know, with a bunch of fun bands, get to see some people. I mean, we're still going to play older music, so I'll still be screaming a lot.
So you'll still do Devil You Know stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, come on, I still got to scream because everybody's angry at stuff. So, but yeah, and there's still some brutal stuff going on in the new album.
Don't get us wrong. It's not like this. It's not a, you know, it's not a Shania Twain album. Shania Twain?
No.
Where
you still don't wanna. No. Hey, man, that song is the jam.
Oh, dude, that's all Mutt Lange shit. You know, that's why.
That woman.
Oh, so Shania, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
Shout out from.
Yeah.
Shout out from Argus. Last couple questions, Howard. What's your favorite song on the new record?
Oh, wow. I honestly don't know if I have one.
All of them, right?
I'll say The Safety of Disbelief.
Hmm.
Why not?
Rockin' tune, heavy tune.
Yeah, it's heavier. It's got a good groove to it. It's just I don't know. There was something about that song, even when we had in the studio. It's like,
There's certain songs that stand out.
Yeah, it's like the song has a vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that
last question, what's your favorite Christian metal album right today?
Wow. Oh, wow, that's hard, man.
I'm trying to think for me too. I mean, obviously Soldiers always stands out for me. Striper, Soldiers Under Command, but I'm going to say Atomic Arena, Barren Cross for me.
All right. Like we can definitely say Striper. We can, you know, I would say the one that probably got the most play for me, probably State of Control.
State of Control?
Yeah,
Barren Cross,
State of Control. I think that one probably got more play than any of the other ones.
It's so funny. We're probably the only two people on the planet doing a podcast talking about Barren Cross.
Michael Drive isn't talking about Barren Cross right now.
Michael Drive, if you're listening, with Shania Twain.
No. You were Shania. If you're listening, we're throwing some love your way, all right? What just happened?
Howard, it's good talking about it. I know George, your manager, our publicist, is always like, we got to do a Fozzy Light the Torch tour. I'm like, abso-frickin-lutely.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It'd be so much fun. You and I reserve the back lounge nonstop. Christian metal.
No.
Actually, Rich, our guitar player, Rich Ward, huge Christian metal fan.
Oh,
Striper, Barren Cross, he's into all
that. Oh, that's awesome.
So there's three of us now.
Yeah, there will be three because no one in my band will want any part of that.
Dude, it's great talking to you, man.
Awesome, man.
All right, thanks to Howard Jones and his new band, once again called Light the Torch. The new album, Revival, is out today. It's a great record. Features Howard singing. He's a great singer. They're getting some great radio play. The video is out. Plenty of harder stuff for all you Killswitch and Devil You Know fans as well. Not just the clean radio stuff. All sides of the coin. This might be my favorite Howard Jones band, Light the Torch. And you know they're going to play a lot of Devil You Know songs on tour. So follow them on Twitter, even though Howard is not on social media. His band is. It's LT Torch Band. And on Facebook at Light the Torch Official. So you'll be the first to know when the tour starts. You can also check out the video, once again, like I said, of their new single, Calm Before the Storm. Thanks again to Howard. Great guy. We're getting ready to do a Striper podcast at the Gramercy, the reunion of the Heavens Metal Triumvirate, the Christian Metal Gang, and you are going to love it. A classic album clash coming up with all the boys. So lots of cool stuff coming up, including cabins still available for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, setting sail October 27th. Remember, $150, as little as $150 can hold your cabin. Once you book this cabin, everything is included in the booking price. We got so much talent coming on, so many things happening. And it's all inclusive when you book your cabin, all covered in the price of admission. And you'll be able to come hang on the ship with Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, SoCal Val, Raven, Mick Foley, Noel Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Cyrus, Paul Lazenby, Conan, Disco Inferno, Shane Helms, Beyond the Darkness will be there, Colt Cabana, Marty DeRosa doing an unprofessional wrestling podcast, Brad Williams, Ron Funches, Busted Open Radio joining the festivities, Corey Taylor of Slipknot and Stone Sour will be there, Phil Campbell, the Bastard Sons, King, the Stir, the Dave Spivak Project, the Cherry Bomb, Shoot to Throw, Blizzard of Ozzy, and of course Fozzy will be there doing three full sets, and the Pièce de Resistance, the Ring of Honor, Sea of Honor tournament aboard the ship. The winner gets a title shot for the Ring of Honor World Championship in the future. The Young Bucks will be there, Villain, Marty Scurll, Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle, Frankie Kazarian, Adam Page, Chris Daniels, Jay Lethal, Cheeseburger, Cody, don't call him Rhodes, Cody's wife Brandy, Diona Perazzo will be there, Kenny King, Flip Gordon, everybody's going to be there, and top off. Kenny Omega is going to be there. Just a huge, huge lineup. Still more names to come. I mean, come on, there's so much talent. The ship is going to get bogged down. Won't even be able to leave the port, so to speak. But you got to check it out. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com, ChrisJerichoCruise.com, and be a part of the action that you're going to find only at the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. That's it. Next week, it's WrestleMania week, man. We got a couple big shows coming up. I'm not sure which one is which, but it's all going to be wrestling, WrestleMania related. Get ready for that. I'll let you know who's going to be on the show next Monday, but it will be involving WrestleMania. There's going to be a WrestleMania preview show. I'm going to have Teddy Hart and Joey Janela previewing Joey Janela's Spring Break wrestling show. It's a big, big week for the WWE and for the entire wrestling business. So stay tuned. In the meantime, in the between time, that's it. Stay hard, stay hungry. Another fine edition of Talk is Jericho in the can. We'll see you next week, and a big yeah, boy!